We want you to know the Lord Jesus in a deeper way today than you did yesterday. We want you to leave here knowing him, understanding him, and following him in all that you are and all that you have. And so as we've been covering the mission statement, I want to remind you that I've still got those printed up, those little cards that we put in a bulletin last week. Well, we've been talking about how is it that we can know the Lord. Last week, we covered that we know the Lord through his word. Okay, we talked about the miraculous things that he has done all throughout the Old Testament. We talked about the general revelation. He reveals himself through nature. And so we can know that there is a true God because of nature. It's all his handiwork, and it speaks of the glories and his attributes and all that he is. But that's, we need more. We need to go farther. We need to go deeper. And so we go into the special revelation. And so then we talked about the miracles that God has done. We see that all throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see that he comes through visions and dreams and all of these things. While many of these things can be misunderstood, misinterpreted, or mishandled, if you will, God went farther into giving us his written word so that we would always have his word, we would always have his instruction, and that we would not forget it, that we would always have it with us. And that Peter told us that even though that they stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and heard the very word of God from heaven, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. He says, now we have a more confirmed word. He says, now it's without a doubt that the Lord Jesus himself, the very written word himself, has now given us an understanding of who God is. And so as we're progressing along, now our next step in this message is that we can know who God is because of the Lord Jesus. So I want to just very quickly visit Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jews, and he says, look, the Old Testament has brought us to a point that we see the perfect law of God. And anytime we look at the law, we realize we're guilty. We stand condemned before the law of God. Why? Because we are not perfect. Because we have sin. And so the law reveals that. Well, then it leaves us. What do we do? Where do we go? We see that Jesus answers that. Jesus is the answer to that question. How is it that I know that I can have eternal life? Jesus says, and you must trust in me. You must follow me. Many would say, well, how is it that I can be healed? You come and you trust in me. How is it that my sin can be forgiven? I got a terrible past. Jesus says, you come and you trust in me. And he says, I'm going to make things right. So in the book, the writer of Hebrews, he says, look, in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, means that when he died on the cross, he paid for our sin debt. So he purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, that's God the Father, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now think about this for a minute. We see the excellencies of who Jesus is. He leaves no doubt, no question that all of creation was conducted by God the Father, God the Son, and we'll find other places in Scripture that God the Holy Spirit were all active parts of creation. And because of that, we realize the globe that we live on, the air that we breathe, the world that we live in belongs to him and is sustained by him. So therefore, the authority that he holds over us is not in question. Would you agree? Some may doubt it. Some may reject it. But his authority is full and complete. He made the worlds. But then he goes on and says, but who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. More or less, he's saying that when Jesus came, if you want to know who God is, you get to know Jesus, and you will know the Father. Jesus even proclaimed that himself. Now, many, they would call this blasphemy. It's only blasphemy when you are not God. But Jesus is God, so therefore it was not blasphemy, it was truth. and is truth. And so as we understand Jesus, we would not have got to see the God of glory if it had not been for Jesus to come and reveal the Father to us. And he did so lovingly. He did so gently. He did so humbly. Aren't you glad that he came in that way? He could have come with an authority to destroy all things because we were rebellious, we rejected, and we resisted him. But yet he came lovingly. He came to reveal who God the Father is, the love that he has for us, the purpose that he has laid out for our lives. And because of all of that, we see that he had purged our sins. By his death upon the cross, by paying our sin debt, he took our sins away. Once and for all, Isaiah says he took our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, obviously, our globe is a circle, but east and west, it just keeps going. Amen? And so once he has done perfectly, and he has done eternally. And so when it says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, died on the cross, physical death, complete death. Don't believe in the swoon theory and all of these crazy things that suggest that he just passed out. My friend, the Roman soldiers were professional killers. They were professional executioners. Many commentators I have read and have heard that the Persians created the crucifixion. The Romans perfected it. They could keep people alive on that cross for days, even weeks. It was cruel. It was so cruel that it was against Roman law to crucify a Roman citizen. That's how cruel it was. But yet Jesus went to the cross. Why didn't he last longer? Because they beat him. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails, which most men would die under those circumstances. But he survived it, went to the cross, and then died as our sacrifice for our sins. All of this to express the love of Christ, to express who the Father is, to express the value of who you are. When was the last time you've heard that? Can I be honest? There's a lot of times people or friends, they try to build us up and they tell us all the good things about us, but it doesn't seem to last. You know, from day to day, we're struggling with ourselves. But can I tell you something? That when God says that he loves you, he truly loves you. The world gets confused and says, well, God hates me. That's the biggest lie that could ever be peddled. And just the fact that it comes out of my mouth, I want to spit. Are you with me? It has no truth. It has no place. The hurt, the pain, the anger, the inadequacies that you're feeling is because of sin. It's because of Satan. But God says, I'm willing to forgive all of that. Many were brought before the Lord that were people of a horrible past and a horrible reputation. But Jesus says, I'm willing to forgive if you'll come and repent. That's all you got to do is come and repent. No greater expression of love could have been seen. So how can I be sure that I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior? This is the most important, the most pressing question that we could ever ask ourselves. First of all, letter A, what do we mean by trusting Jesus? Often we think that, well, just by calling ourselves a Christian or by showing up at church, that means I'm a Christian. Trying to do good things, when in reality, none of those will work. Ephesians 2:8, 9 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast. It's a gift. It's given. It's not earned. No matter how much good that you think you've done, it's never enough. Because there's only one that can take our sins away, and that is the Lord Jesus. But also, how is it that we can have authority to go to heaven? Can we be honest that when someone dies, we always want to talk about, well, they're in a better place? Do we know that? We don't. You know why? Because we don't have the authority. Even my own children, before they come to know the Lord Jesus my Savior as their Savior, I try to impress upon them the importance of it. They got a good dose of it pretty regular around our house. But the reality was, is I could not do it for them. They had to make that decision. And so not until they did choose to repent and to trust in the Lord Jesus and follow him, did it become a reality in their life. They couldn't get to heaven because of what I've done. They couldn't get to heaven because of my name. They couldn't get to heaven because of the church that they went to and where I pastored. It didn't work that way, and nor will it work for you, because we do not have the authority, but there is only one that does. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So what is he talking about here? It's not by our good will and our good purposes that we come to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But what we're doing is that we're coming based upon the salvation that Jesus gives. He paid for our sin, and so therefore he is the only one that can forgive us of our sin. But notice there in John chapter 1, verse 12, notice that one word, that he gave the right to become children of God. You know what that right means? It is the power of choice. So he gave us the opportunity to accept him. It doesn't just come along out of the blue. We don't become a Christian just accidentally. We kind of trip over it and, oh, there it is. Too often people think that Christianity is just something I develop in my life. That is not the biblical reality. The reality that becoming a Christian, becoming a child of God, is a spiritual birth. It is a transformation that God does in our lives and in our heart. And it's not something that we're doing, but it's something that we are surrendering to trust that he will accomplish. Are you with me? You don't become a Christian by trying to do better. You become a child of God by being born again, being made new, becoming a new person, a new creation, as it says in the book of Corinthians. And so how does that happen? It happens by a choice, by making a decision, by following what Jesus has said. How can we be sure? How can we be sure? I'm going to cover this very quickly because there may be some of you that are sitting here today and say, oh, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm going to ask you, I'm not asking your religious affiliation. I'm asking if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior intimately, personally. Are you trusting him and him alone? Are you still just trying to do it all on your own? There's so many opportunities that we try to do this, we try to do that, but then we keep failing. So then what do? We come back to the source of our salvation. We surrender again. Not that we're being saved again, but that we're restoring that right relationship. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He gives us his Spirit so that we know that we are a child of God without a shadow of a doubt. We know that. It's not that I hope so. I hope I'm going to get there. I hope I'm good enough. None of that is biblical. All of that will lead you astray. You can know for sure. Know that you know that you know that you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's not some mysterious, mystical thing that's just out of everybody's reach, but it's something that God gives us an understanding that we are a child of God and we have an eternal home in heaven. Do you know that? Do you have that? Are you assured of that? You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Is he guiding you to obedience, to the hunger for his word? 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. I want you to consider this. We live in a day and age that it seems as though obedience is optional. But according to God's word, obedience is, number one, an evidence of that relationship with Christ. Number two, it is a evidence of the transformation that's taking place in your life that only God can bring about. There's a lot of counterfeits of religious affiliations, if you will, religious practice. But there's only one who can change us radically and completely and bring about success in living for, living through Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him. How do we know? If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is what? They're lying. There's even people that say that they're preachers of churches and they're carrying this out. Oh, I know him, but I'm not going to obey him. Then you don't know him. Because if you knew him, you love him. If you knew him, you give everything for him because there is no other option. There's no other desire once you come to know him. Why would you walk away from the most important thing, the most important person, the most valuable thing that you've ever found in your life? Why wouldn't you follow and obey him? But the Bible says, if I know him, but I don't keep his commandments, then I'm lying. It's not God's fault that I'm failing, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, let's get to the positive side of that, okay? But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now I want you to see something. Some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor, I have trusted the Lord as my Savior, but I'm not doing too good right now. Well, join the club, amen? Honestly, that's why we come together to encourage each other. That's why we come together to pray together. That's why we come together to spur one another unto good works, as the Scripture says. But that word perfected, he's not saying that we're all perfect. And I love it when people say that, oh, you all go to church because you think you're so good. All right, here we go. Just another misunderstanding. We're probably the people that think the least of ourselves if you just come and sit down and talk and listen for a couple minutes. We're the least of the accepted, but yet we are the chosen. Why? Oh, because you're so good. No, because Jesus chose me. Jesus selected me. Jesus saved me. So therefore, I ride on his merits, not my own. So that word perfected means to make perfect, complete, to carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, to bring to an end. My friend, if we're going to live for Christ and be what he wants us to be, then we've got to rest upon him, lean upon him, depend upon him, rely upon him. But more than that, you've got to know him. You've got to know him. And I'm talking about salvation. There's no other name but the name of Jesus where we can be saved. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe in God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. This is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. You notice Son is capitalized. Do you know why? It's referring to Jesus, okay? When we refer to deity in the Scriptures, it's capitalized. Why? Because it's God, okay? God the Son. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Have we been plain? Have we been clear today? Some of you might be thinking and sitting here thinking, well, Pastor, I already know the Lord is my Savior. I'm going to challenge you. Then go through the book of the epistle, 1 John. Are you loving the brethren and sisters in Christ? Are you obedient? Are you in the Word? Are you hungry for the Word? Is the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you know? Is it a reality? Or is this just something that you're hoping to be true? I'm telling you that hope doesn't rely upon what I can make up, but hope relies on that the Lord Jesus did exactly what he said that he would do, and he's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. Number two, do you know how to share with your children? Do you know how to share the very simple basics that I give right here to your grandchildren? Are you instilling upon their lives and upon their hearts and demonstrating for them a life that is changed radically? Are you prepared that when they get older and they find out that you did have a past, that you're ready to take them right where that radical life took change? And you can share with them what Jesus has done for you, and so therefore he'll do it for you. I'm going to ask you to stand. Remember I mentioned to you the altar call? That's that time right now. Do you need someone to pray with you? Do you need to just come and pray? Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I hear a lot about this eternal life, and I thought I had a handle on it, but I'm not sure if I do now. Would you come and let me share with you? We have Pastor Mike here. I have some ladies here on the third row that they're able to share the gospel with you. We're going to give you an opportunity to come down here this morning. Church member, maybe you've got somebody on your heart. There's some of you that was teaching some that they need to know the Lord as their Savior. Would you come down this morning right now and pray for them? Come on and break the ice. Don't expect a visitor to do that. Will you come down? Some of you think, well, I can't kneel. That's why we got pews. Come down here and sit on a pew. The Lord is going to hear your prayer. Are we willing to come as a church and be brokenhearted over those that don't know the Lord Jesus, don't know the love of Christ, don't know the freedom, and right now are just struggling with pains and hurts and disappointments and don't know how to get free of it? Church, we have an opportunity to come to the King of Glory, the one who created all things, who is infinitely wise, infinitely loving, infinitely merciful, and is able to change hearts that we can't even reach. My friend, if he can raise the dead back to life, he can raise a soul that's just tired and given up. Where are we, church? Are we on our knees in our hearts, or are we just giving lip service? We can change all that today with just a simple prayer of repentance. So, Lord, I may not have been what I need to be, but I want to be all that you've called me. Maybe you got burdens that you just need to share with someone, and we can share that with you. There's a Savior that already knows what they are. Why don't you come and just lay it at his feet. Find the answers that you need to move forward. We're going to pray over everyone here in the altar and those that have come to pray. And then we have one more matter we're going to attend to. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we are reminded once again that we are welcomed to a relationship with you. A relationship that we can come to know you, not just knowing about you, but that we come, that you say that we'll be your friend. That when we enter in through salvation, we can become your child. Lord, I know there's many that are here today that are hurting. Some have never experienced the reality of having the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray that you'll just continue to burden their heart, that they'll come seeking and hungering for you. Because, Lord, I know you'll do your part. Lord, help them to see that in spite of the conviction of our sin, it's a difficult thing to bear. It's a horrible thing to bear. But that you love us. You love us through that conviction. And that they can be forgiven. Lord, as a church, I ask you to break our hearts for those that are lost. Break our hearts for our own lives and just simply the apathy that's settled into our lives. Oh, Lord, let our hearts burn as we see missionaries going all over the world making sacrifices. May we have that same hunger for the lost right here in our own community. Oh, Lord, don't let us rest until we've fulfilled our purpose of being here to share the gospel message with others, to allow the love of God to be perfected in our own lives, that you'll complete the purpose that you have for each and every one of us, to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, thank you for loving us. And whatever it is that we have laid on the altar before you today, Lord, help us not to pick it up again. Help us to learn to trust in you, to fully rely upon you, and to grow deeper in our faith in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.